can't believe he has a second job.
He's not even good at his first one.
Hey, guys. What you talking about?
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weissenick here with you once again. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick and Nick Zeraris. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. And gentlemen, before we start the recording, just a PSA, a disclaimer, if you will, for those listening. Just because apparently this is not a well-known thing. And again, I just want to make sure that everyone's aware. When you go on StubHub, Ticketmaster, third-party sites, and you're looking at Giants ticket prices, I just want everyone who's listening to know that that's not the Giants selling those tickets. Okay, those are people who, those are third-party sales. Because apparently that's not a predominantly known thing. So I just want to, again, put that out there for those who are listening. So everyone's just, we're on the same page. You know, the New York Giants aren't selling $1 tickets on StubHub. That would actually be the hardworking, high-paying PSL season ticket holders who can't get rid of their tickets. That's them that's selling those tickets on StubHub Ticketmaster. Again, just, there are some beat writers who were just, didn't think that the fan base had the intelligence to figure that out. And maybe he's right. So I just wanted to reiterate that one more time, that that is third party sales. So anyway, gentlemen, how are we?
Okay.
We're okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Yeah. We're not going to get into any fights or beat anybody up over, third party sales or airplanes or anything like that. No, we're good.
No.
I didn't pay for the plane.
Oh, that's good to know, Nick.
I didn't either.
Weiss might have.
If I did, I would have been a lot meaner with the message.
I agree. That's how you
calling
know
it wasn't Mr. is crazy. Calling him Mr. Mayor is crazy.
That's how you know it was paid for by someone who's 60 plus, because they for some reason still have fond memories of Wellington Mara Mr. Mara.
I feel like it could have been a relative of the family that was very upset and just,
or you know, maybe a Tish plant.
Yeah, could be something like that too.
You never know.
Nonetheless, Saints 14, Giants 11. Reminiscent of that Patriot game last year. Remember that one?
Shout out to Chad Ryland.
Yeah. Let's talk about the game. I think we'll talk about the plane thing for in a second, but the game. You know what's crazy about that? This game is that I feel like the Giants, like, obviously we're rooting for losses, so we're not looking at it from this perspective, but if the Giants had to win this game, right? Like, let's say they were trying to win this game, or we wanted them to win this game, and they had lost, we probably would have bashed our heads into the wall, because they had like 15 different ways to win this game. I think their average starting position was like at the 42-yard line of their own, like midfield.
I think like the first 5 or 6 drives started at like the Saints 46, the 48, the 49, the 42. Yeah, it was right. Bad.
Special teams play, they had the touchdown that was called back because of a holding penalty. They were in position to kick a field goal, but then there was some type of unnecessary roughness penalty that was called back.
They had 10 points taken off the board due to penalties.
Yeah, and they averaged 10
points.
Shout
out to Brian Daboll.
And they averaged 10 points at home per game. So that just tells you how important those 10 points were.
True.
I thought, you know, defensively, they got one of those like defensive performances where like, hey, that's good enough to win the game. The Saints are really bad.
Awful.
They are really freaking bad.
Awful. There was a game I was watching. It may have been like a Thursday night game or I don't know. The only reason I was watching was because I had picked up, I think, Saints defense as like a last resort. Like, I just need a spot start. Someone like my defense was on by whatever it was. And I just distinctly remember it as being the game that the Saints gave up. Like, they were giving up like 10 yards per carry. They were allowing just yards after the like they're done. They're done. They'd given up weeks ago. Like, this is a bad team.
Was it the Denver Thursday night game?
You know what? I think you're correct. Yeah. I think it was the Denver Thursday night game. Where Denver just gashed them on the ground. Javonte Williams looked like Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, it was that game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
that was the moment in the season where I was like, this team's giving up.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, so, I mean, that's who the Giants lost to.
I mean, the only reason Giants are in that game was because there was a lot of terrible football yesterday till about 4 o'clock. Until the Bills-Rams game kind of saved the day. There were like four games in the 1 o'clock window that were all in the low teens and just absolute miserable to watch. I mean, all you need to know about this game is the Kendre Miller touchdown where the Saints pushed him in from the sticks. Yep. That told me all I needed to know as far as how this game was going to go. The Giants, they didn't have the dogs. With no Dex, you can't do anything. And look, the Saints are an atrocity.
Their run defense was okay.
The run defense was all right. I jokingly tweeted I should be shot for ever thinking Derek Carr was good at football. But like, that team is an abomination to the sport. Bad. The Saints are horrendous. And like, that's a Giant fan. That's me saying the Saints are horrendous. That was
a self-aware Giants fan.
Yeah, those two teams both stink. Like, we're wasting everyone's time by making the Giants, the Saints, the Titans, the Jaguars. I know the Jaguars won yesterday, but like, why are these teams bothering? There's no point. These games are pointless.
I agree.
These are the keep the change games. Like, you know, when you pay for something and then you're like, don't give me the change, keep the change.
These are the Herb Dean games. Like Ethan said last week, these are the Herb Dean games. These are dead bodies getting their skulls pumped in.
Yeah. Yeah, back in the day, I don't know if they still do this, but like wrestling used to do like dark matches. Nick, you're a big wrestling guy. You know about those dark matches, right? I was googling something. I was having a conversation with somebody. I googled like a WrestleMania back in like, I think it was like 7 or 8, and there was dark matches. Like, this is one of the dark matches. The Giants are like the Brooklyn Brawler. Nick, you like that reference? You know, where you just...
They go out there and lose in 3 minutes to make the other guy look good. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's what they are. Ethan's very confused. He's not a big wrestler.
I'm sure there are some people that'll appreciate that reference. I am not one of them. And it's not for lack of, you know, I'm not a hater. And WWE is one of those things I wish I had gotten into.
Yeah.
It just looks like a ton of fun.
It's more competitive than the Giants. I see more honest competition on Monday Night Raw than I do.
You know, like at these big pay-per-view events that that wrestling would do, they would have dark matches, like matches that go on before the pay-per-view goes live on air
to warm up the crowd, so people get a little juice.
An undercard,
exactly. Yeah. Sort of. And that's exactly what the Giants are the rest of the season.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Drew Lock,
the one play where he just made a right turn instead of going straight. I mean, Jesus.
All right. So I think, I mean, again, it's been two games. I don't want to say like,
what
debating
are
whether and debating whether or not one of Tommy DeVito or Drew Lock is better than the other is just so pointless.
Oh, Lock's better than him. That's not a conversation. Lock's a better athlete.
I get Lock it. At least can I have move. No, I have no interest in having that conversation.
Is that a conversation that's going on?
No, it's not.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Is it?
I saw people arguing about it.
I hope not.
The only thing that we know for certain is that Joe Shane's evaluation of the quarterback position is dog shit. Like, I've never been more confident that this is a guy who was part of an organization that got lucky drafting a unicorn in Josh Allen. And that's it. And he's been riding the coattails since, because you can't point to like more than one or two draft picks where you're like, yeah, this guy knows what he's doing. It's not happening. So
how do you explain Tyrod Taylor? Because Tyrod Taylor was a good backup quarterback.
Well, it wasn't a draft pick.
Well, I mean, he signed him.
They had a pre-existing relationship.
Yeah. And they had a pre-existing relationship from Buffalo. And by the end of it, Tyrod hated him so much he left for his crosstown rival. I wouldn't really say that they managed that relationship properly.
Well, I think one thing I learned is that now I know why we waited 10 weeks to play Drew Lock, despite how awful Daniel Jones was.
Yeah. But again, that goes back to my tweet that Drew Lock better be the worst quarterback I have ever seen. And he's close. He's not the worst that I've ever seen. You know, he's not.
He's not Jake Fromm.
No, he's not Jake Fromm. Like
Mike Glennon. Is he better than Mike?
He's not Nathan Peterman.
Mike Glennon.
I think I'd rather have Mike Glennon. But
really, that was a bad stretch.
Mike Glennon for the memes.
Yeah, Mike Glennon was bad. Yeah, yeah. The neck.
Mike Glennon and Freddie Kitchens calling plays. You remember that, Nick?
Freddie Kitchens got a college job. He's an interim coach somewhere in college right now because their coach got fired.
I was going to save this for later. Oh yeah, I was gonna save this for later in the episode. Bill Belichick getting the UNC job would be shocking and a blessing.
I can't believe you guys think Bill Belichick wants to come to the Giants.
I think he'll take any job. I don't think he's going to be picky. I think he wants to break the wins record and get the fuck out of here. I think he's taking whatever job.
I think this is a more of a detriment, John, man, to Bill Belichick than helping him get the wins record.
This guy's got such a big ego that he had like the greatest quarterback of all time was like, I can win without him. Get rid of this guy by the end. Like, this guy genuinely believes he can come to the Giants and turn this shit around in a year or two.
I don't think he does.
Yes, he does. He is arrogant.
Oh, he absolutely does. I mean, that's the pitch to any team that's going to hire him is I'm going to turn this around in a year or two. I'm going to break the wins record. I'm going to win you a Super Bowl, and then I'm going to ride off into the sunset, and you're going to hire my son as my replacement.
Yes.
That's what Belichick is telling Lou Amarillo. Yes.
I just don't think he would want to come to. I think he would rather take the North Carolina job.
The man who cried talking about a meeting room? Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, but Nick, everything since then has been the exact opposite. Like, he doesn't think the same about the Giants once did.
You don't know that. He hasn't been interviewed.
Come on.
Well, there's no way that emotions change that quickly. Anyway, again, I didn't want to go off on that tangent, but Nick brought up UNC or college.
Let's talk about the plane. Okay.
Let's talk about the plane.
All right. History lesson.
It wasn't mean enough.
Yeah. History lesson about the plane. This actually wasn't the first time something like this has happened.
Yes. Why don't you read it off?
This happened back in 1978. Yeah, 1978. Ethan, you referenced this point in Giants history a lot when you try to make a point about the Mara family.
Yeah, because the revisionist history is sickening.
Yeah, 1978, during a game, there was a banner that read, 15 years of lousy football, we've had enough. That's actually more meaner than the message that was on the banner yesterday. This was in the time where the Giants had like a really bad stretch, 17 games. I think it was the week after that fumble game, right? The miracle at the Meadowlands. After that 78 season, John Mara's father, Wellington Mara, who Ethan thinks so highly of, and his cousin Tim were in a bitter conflict that caused a stalemate. Over a general manager hire. At the time, it was Wellington that was running the entire football operations. That then NFL Commissioner Pete Rozelle was forced to sort of get in the middle and presented a individual named George Young as a compromising candidate for the Maras, and the rest is history.
Yeah. So again, just for quick spark notes, Wellington Mara was so incompetent at running the Giants, much like his son, that the NFL had to step in and hire George Young, who then changed the trajectory of the Giants for the next 35 years.
And what came after George Young, Ernie Accorsi, what came after Ernie Accorsi, Jerry Reese, and then that's the Super Bowls. And then the first hire that John Mara had to make as general manager was...
We're not going to say the name.
All right, so the plane. Mr. Mara, this is a dumpster fire, fix it, right? Is that was that the
there message? Was a literal dumpster fire yesterday.
There was also a literal dumpster fire in the parking lot. There was.
Ethan, does stuff like this matter?
No, I don't think so. I think the only reason I say that is like it matters in the sense that it's bad publicity for John Mara, and everyone loves to talk about how bad publicity is what is needed for a change. But again, I believe you tweeted about this a couple of weeks ago. There is nothing positive to come from John Mara, even cleaning house and bringing in a new GM or whatever it is. They need a CEO. They need a president of football operations. I hate to bring politics into this, but the biggest talking point for this past election was Joe Biden is too old. And Donald Trump himself is what, 81, 82? How old is John Mara? He's 84?
No,
let's do a quick
70.
Google. Yeah.
Only 70.
John Mara's 70.
Yeah. Never mind. I thought he was way older than that. He's not looking too good. But even at 70,
he's in good shape
with just getting everything wrong, dude. Like, step aside. Just hire a CEO. Like, no one's going to think. No one's going to think more or less. Like, I promise we can only think less of you if this keeps going on. You know what I mean? At some point, you just have to acknowledge that you suck at your job and just get out of the way and let someone else do it. It's why I don't do laundry. You know, I'll handle the grocery shopping. I'll clean the house. I don't do laundry. I suck at laundry. My wife's good at laundry. I let her handle that. You know, step aside. Let someone else do it.
Yeah, I think that's the big talking point for the past couple months, you know, on social media amongst Giant fans has been, you know, just fire these guys. You know, you had a good interview process the last go round. You interviewed a lot of good people. And that's true. You know, Adam Peters, Joe Ortiz, Ryan Poles, these guys were all a part of the interview process that ultimately led to Joe Shane. But I just, you know, I'm surprised at how many people are sort of have come to this conclusion that John Mara is going to clean house. Even though it's the easy decision to make, I'm surprised at how many people think that this season is going to end with that happening.
Well, can I make one argument here? And yes. It's one that I made.
But can I tell you the recent history?
Of course, okay? Go ahead.
In 2015, Jerry Reese stays, Tom Coughlin goes. In 2019, Dave Gettleman stays, Pat Shermer goes. In 2024, I think it's going to end with Joe Shane staying, Brian Daboll going, right? He's already said this is not they're not tied at the hip, or they're not, I forgot they're not a package deal, excuse me, right? This is what happened. Like, they give the general manager a longer leash than the head coach. Then what they do, so let's go back to 2015, right? Tom Coughlin resigns, right? The whole reason why the Mariners wanted to keep Jerry Reese was they thought, hey, two-time Super Bowl winning general manager deserves to pick his head coach. Like, remember when Reese took over, Coughlin was already the head coach. But then during the interview process, what does John Mara, and I say the Mara's because I think Chris Mara was at the time was also involved in this. What did they do? If everyone remembers the reporting, they then quarterbacked the head coaching search. So they went against their reasoning for keeping Jerry Reese, which was, hey, this guy deserves to hire his own head coach. And then it led them to Ben McAdoo, the panic situation with him potentially going to the Eagles. Then with Dave Gettleman, right? Well, the roster's not good enough. So we're getting rid of Pat Shermer. He lost the locker room. Okay. Then what do? You then quarterback the head coaching search and you put Joe Judge in there, who probably didn't align at all with Dave Gettleman. And we saw that toward the end of the tenure. Then you hire Joe Shane. You let him hire his head coach. And then guess what? Now you're going to fire Brian Daboll. And what are you going to do? You're going to quarterback the search again, and you're going to tie a head coach and a general manager that are probably not aligned on two separate timelines together. And ironically enough, just like in 2015 when Coughlin left, and just like in 2019 when Pat Shermer got fired, they're once again in an offseason where they're going to have a top five pick and a bunch of salary cap space for a GM who has to show results. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to spend money. That is how you set yourself back, more so than taking the wrong quarterback. And I think that's what's going to end up happening here, is when you have a GM and you hook him to a head coach that's in his first year. We've seen this movie before. Just go back to the offseason of 2015. Go back to the offseason of 2019 when they brought in new head coaches and they tied him to a general manager that was already on the hot seat. And look at how it ended. And that's sort of how I see this thing playing out.
I wanted to add one thing onto that, because I was having a conversation with somebody about this on Saturday, and like, you don't get to where the Giants are because of like one or two bad off seasons. This is like a decade plus of just bad decisions compounding into each other over time. You know, you mentioned the timelines not being synced up. You could say the same thing in regards to the quarterbacks, where they've kind of missed the boat two separate times on being able to reset, whether moving on from Eli to Jones or moving on from Jones to someone else. These are it's almost impossible for this many things to go wrong. Like, you know, you talk about eventually you get lucky once or twice, and that was 2 years ago, them making the playoffs, winning the playoff game. But the roster and the problems that got them here, these are long range, big picture issues. It's they don't draft well, so they don't develop anyone. Because they don't develop anyone, they need to overpay in free agency or get players who are smaller role players on other teams and try and promote them into more functional or more useful players. And when you are consistently having to go outside your organization to build out your roster, you are always going to end up top heavy, where you have to concentrate your money on a few guys because the players you're able to acquire by definition are more expensive because you had to trade for them and they wanted an extension or they were a free agent. You're always going to pay more for those guys than you would for somebody you drafted. And they've consistently missed the boat on guys. You know, I know I've seen a lot of Giant fans the last few weeks doing the, well, if our general manager looked at Jalin Hyatt and George Pickens and said Jalin Hyatt was better, there's probably something wrong with the evaluation. You know, same thing with the quarterbacks when it George Pickens. Yeah. Or same thing in regards to the quarterback, the backup quarterback. You know, what did he see that Drew Lock versus Russ or Winston or whoever to be like, this is a good decision? You get here because mistakes from 5 and 10 years ago, you know, the Giants hung on too long because they were trying to do, you know, the perceived right thing when it came to managing Tom Coughlin and Eli at the end, not wanting to be disrespectful, wanting to keep Eli in the loop. It's why they ended up with Jones. And just, you are here. They have the second worst record in football since 2017. I think they have the worst record in New York sports and second worst in New York sports behind the Jets. And at a certain point, you know, it's the owner's fault. It can't just be, well, we got a new GM and a new coach and it'll be different. At a certain point, and to Weiss's point, you said this a few weeks ago, they need a president of football operations, and John Mara needs to go and be a figurehead. He needs to take pictures before games on the field. He needs to occasionally do press conferences to announce big things, take the pictures with the big free agent signings, holding the jerseys and the draft picks and all that. But like, I don't want John Mara having a day-to-day say in football operations. I don't want his brother. I don't want his nephew. I want the Giants to have a serious professional football operation led by football people. At a certain point, it's the owner's fault. And look, there are some teams where you get away with this. You know, the Bengals, they lucked in the Burrow and they took Chase. And even if I don't think Zach Taylor's that good, I know the Brown family is too dense to let a football person manage their team. The Giants, if John Mara is as smart as he thinks he is, let somebody who's actually a football person make these decisions, because he's not. He's fundamentally not.
I'm just confused at the process and how they hire candidates. Because, yes. And I went back and looked this up. When they were interviewing for general managers, again, they interviewed good people, right? And ultimately, they hired, at the time, Joe Shane was a good hire, right? We looked at it. But the process and how they hire these people, are they looking for what type of alignment in terms of philosophically are they looking for? Are they looking for somebody that will get along with the family and put the nephew in a prominent role? Or are they looking for someone that's going to tell them the truth about how they're structured organizationally? And I think the one thing that I've learned from this regime is that no matter who they end up hiring or how good of, you know, the candidates that they interview, how good they are, I will always go into the next regime whenever they come with the thought process that this is going to fail, and have that mindset that it's going to fail until it doesn't.
I agree. I think that's the only mindset that one can have. And I think the Giants really are setting themselves up for failure moving forward. And I think it's very obvious when you break it down, because we just saw it happen this past season. I think what are the two most obvious scenarios this upcoming offseason are that the Giants retain Joe Shane or they retain Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, neither of whom has proven to excel at their job. Maybe Daboll year one, okay, but since then it's been downhill. What happens with the coordinator? We just witnessed this past offseason that no one wanted to come be the defensive coordinator after the dumpster fire that Wink caused or that Dable caused. I don't know if we'll ever truly know who was at fault for the whatever. Fine. Yeah. You assign blame to whoever you want. It's messy. It took them weeks to hire Bowen. Right. I mean, in Hard Knocks, what was the clip? It was Brian Dable pulling up his phone to show how good run defenses were. Like, that's a joke. Like that. Seriously, like, that is a joke. And it took them weeks. It took them weeks to clean up the Wink mess. It took them weeks to hire Bowen. He was on no one's list because no one wanted to come here, because no one wanted to work for a coach that was going into year three with Daniel Jones as their quarterback and could be on the hot seat. Like, no one wants to go work a one-year job unless they're desperate, which Bowen clearly was. All right. So you go into this upcoming offseason, Bowen's gone.
You think
Kafka probably.
I think the coaching staff is gone. But if you think that,
so let's do two scenarios here.
Okay, right? Sure.
So scenario one is Joe Shane stays,
right?
And if Joe Shane stays, he gets rid of Dable, Kafka's gone, and Bowen's gone.
The coaching staff is gone. The GM stays. Let's play that scenario. Okay,
that scenario. Okay, you're going year four now. Joe Shane, who hasn't won, and you're going to be a head coach working for a GM who, if one miserable season with a depleted roster that clearly isn't good because they haven't drafted well, is Ben Johnson coming to work for Joe Shane? No. Is Mike Vrabel coming to work for Joe Shane year four, potential hot seat? No, it's just not happening. You are not going to get a quality head coaching candidate if Joe Shane is still here. All right, let's move on to scenario two. Shane is here and Dable's and he retains Dable, but they get rid of Kafka and they get rid of Bowen. Okay, which offensive coordinator
do you think that they would get rid of Shane Bowen? Kafka's gone because he's in the final year of his deal.
Yes.
Do you think they'll fire another defensive coordinator? This defense is atrocious.
You can't be like bottom of the league.
You can't have continuity if the team is bad.
One interception in a season.
I agree with you that he should go, but what my question is,
yes,
he's gone. You think they'll actually do it?
Yes.
if they keep Brian Dable,
yes,
then they
because won't they need a scapegoat. You can't just retain the head coach and no one goes. The offensive coordinator here doesn't even call plays, so who's gonna go?
That's their narrative right now that they're pushing out. If you see some of the stuff that's coming out from the Giants is, oh, it's youth development. Like, we have all these young guys playing.
No one's developing, so.
I know, again, but that's what they're going to
do.
I
understand the narrative, but listen, you cannot just retain the staff. And in this scenario, we're retaining Shane, we're retaining Dable, which means someone's got to fall. It can't just be the guy who's here not to call plays, so it's going to be the defensive coordinator as well. All right, so now you have a head coach, year four, super hot seat, hotter than the GM's is. Again, find me a coordinator who's going to come again. We just witnessed this with Bowen for took him weeks to hire him. No one's going to come here with that risk. No one. All right.
And so, one other thing on top of that, we're assuming they're taking a quarterback. So, like, if you take a quarterback in the top five and you are a lame duck, not a lame duck, but you are a coordinator coming into the most difficult possible position imaginable. And, you know, the types of people who you get in those jobs, people who aren't ready for them. It's someone who's willing to take a chance on if I bet on myself and this works out, I get catapulted to head coaching circles if this works out for me. But if it doesn't, I probably never get a chance to be never get back on that head coach path ever again.
Well, I think for GM, it's harder than coaches to get back to that level again. Because we've seen coaches get second chances and go back to coordinator jobs and do well for a few years and whatever. But again, Nick, to your point, like who's going to want to be an offensive coordinator for a coach on the hot seat, an offensive coordinator who isn't going to be allowed to call plays and who's going to be working for someone who appears to be an egomaniac. And by the way, they're going to be looking to draft a quarterback, and that offensive coordinator is going to have limited, if any, say in which quarterback is selected that they get to work with and develop.
You need to have philosophical alignment with the coach who's going to be coaching his offense. I don't mean with the front office. I mean,
With the coach,
because you're keeping an offensive head coach, you're going to need to hire a coordinator who's familiar with that offense.
They have
your pool.
They have an offensive coordinator waiting, Jay Tierney. Like that, they're gonna they'll promote him.
Yeah, great.
No, no,
the quarterback's coach.
Yeah, but in your scenario
of this quarterback group.
Yeah,
but I just want to be clear. The guy who helped develop Daniel Jones.
No, I'm not saying it's a good hire. I'm saying they have somebody in place. The alarming
part. But you're promoted to lead PETA.
Is the defensive side, because there is no internal promotion that you can make. You have to go outside. So if you go outside, like you said, fourth year, hot seat, blah, 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 third defensive coordinator in 4 years, who's going to want to take that job? That's the alarming part. What are you going to go get? You're going to go get Leslie Frazier?
Dude, no one wants this job.
I mean,
like, unless you just clean house. That's the entire point that I'm trying to make.
If you keep
Joe Shane and you get rid of every other coach, you're limited, maybe not as limited as if you were to retain both Shane and Dable. But I think, like, right now, if you were to pull the three of us, I think we'd all unanimously agree that it's going to be Shane who gets rid of Dable, and we're going to have a whole new coaching staff and all new coordinators. I think it's probably second worst to retaining Dable and Shane. But again, like, it makes no sense to me. Like, just clean house. And I have no right. If you're not going to hire a CEO, but you want a football guy who has shown that he's probably overperformed the talent on his rosters, and he's done so with mediocre quarterbacks, fucking go out there and be like, hey, Mike Vrabel, you're the head coach, and you are going to help us find a GM that aligns with you philosophically, and we are going to fix the culture here, and we're going to build a winner. I can get on board with that. But none of this happens if Joe Shane is sticking around. It doesn't. I really see zero justification for keeping him around.
Well, that didn't exactly work in Tennessee, the whole Mike Vrabel, John Robinson thing.
They went to an AFC title game with Ryan Tannehill.
He was below 500 like once,
something like that.
But yeah. John Robinson was a terrible general manager.
Yes, that Titans roster was often terrible, and Vrabel had them competitive.
I know, but he said let Vrabel kind of, you know, be the guy that picks the groceries.
And Vrabel didn't pick his GM.
Vrabel went 54-45. He was under 500 twice. Yeah. John Robinson was there before.
Yes, you're right. Sorry. Vrabel went there in 2018. Robinson came in 2016. I think you just have to start over.
I agree. We're not going to, but
yeah, I think it makes so much sense. You potentially have the first or second pick. You know, no, there's no ties to anybody on. There's no quarterback you have to inherit. There's no, like, the big money contract is Brian Burns. That's it. Dexter Lawrence not even considered a big money contract anymore. Neither is Andrew Thomas in today's NFL. It's the perfect time to sort of reset, kind of look at it from a big picture standpoint. What are you doing? Why are you getting all these hires wrong? But it's not. It's going to be. They're gonna. You know, I think Dable's a dead man walking. I think you can tell it in his press conferences.
He looks fatter.
He knows this is over. They know they can't win games. And when you're not going to be able to win games, you're gonna lose your job. And I think what's going to end up happening is they're gonna keep the general manager, and they're gonna John Mara. And best way to predict the future is to do what, Nick? Look at the past, right?
I'm a history person. You don't got to tell me, man.
I think the Maras are going to quarterback another head coaching search. They're not going to allow Joe Shane to have as much say. I think he'll be a part of it. And they're going to hire somebody that they like. And they're going to create another dysfunctional situation like it was with Joe Judge and Dave Gettleman. And to a lesser extent, Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese. At least McAdoo was with the organization before it was a promotion. But look, man. A lot of people got a lot of faith in John Mara. And if you do, kudos to you, man. I hope you're right. But there's the easy part and there's the hard part. The easy part is, hey, it's pretty obvious they got to reset, right? Even though it's been 3 years. The hard part is him getting the actual hiring right. I don't think he can even do the easy part correctly. So that should tell you what I think about John Mara. And then on top of that, and I know we've kind of argued about this back and forth, but like, I like Shador Sanders in this draft, right? But I don't think he's like a savior, right? I think he can be a great quarterback. He's a good prospect. He's a guy that I think is worth taking a chance on. But this isn't like, there isn't like an Andrew Luck or a Trevor Lawrence or a Caleb Williams type prospect.
Or Drake May or Jaden Daniels or CJ Stroud. Like, they're, I'm sorry. Like, I unfortunately go into every college football season and every draft year wanting to like guys. I do. You know, I'll go on Twitter and I'll see people being like, oh yeah, this guy's got a lot of upside. This guy, that. I watch. I'm like, I have no idea what these people are seeing, and I'm not perfect.
But I think more when I say the prospect, I mean like Jaden Daniels, Drake May, CJ Stroud. They weren't touted as like these generate. They were great prospects. Take them. But what I mean is like, there's not a guy where you look at and it's like, you know what, that guy's more than a franchise quarterback. Like that's a savior, right?
Very infrequent thing. That, you know, it's Luck, Trevor Lawrence, and Caleb Williams, and the, I mean, last,
like, happens every 3 years, like 4 years is one.
No, more than that. More than that.
But it's still that. To me, it's like, who are the exceptional traits guys
in this draft? There isn't one.
I agree. And you know what, Nick? People are gonna get pissed at that. Okay, maybe Jalen Milroe, guy 6'1". Okay, like that's a trait. He might not even come out. I understand. Yeah. People are going to say Drew Aller.
There's guys, two guys.
Slow as fuck. Like, come on.
There's two guys. The discussion is Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. Now, where I am Where I am on Shedeur is, I think, like, that's a guy I'm willing to take a chance on. And everyone says, well, where would he be ranked if he was in last year's class? To me, that's pointless. I'm saying he's a guy that I would take a chance on. Regardless if he's the fourth best quarterback in the class or the best quarterback in the class, he's a guy that I'm willing to take a chance on. Cam Ward, I go back and forth. It's tough. There's a lot of, you know, bad there when you watch. Now, I haven't watched a lot of them. I've watched a lot of Shedeur Sanders, both like week to week, because I watched Colorado. But, you know, just some of the other film breakdowns that I watch, I like Shedeur Sanders a lot. I do think he can be a franchise quarterback.
I think he's Jared Goff. I think with the perfect environment around him, you can be a pretty good team. I think he's slightly above average in terms of his traits, but nothing's incredible about him.
I think he's mainland Tua. You know, I'm not taking this guy top five because I think that he's going to be able to lift up everyone around me when things aren't perfect. And we're the New York football fucking Giants. Everything needs to be perfect. And it never is.
We just did 6 years of that where everything needed to be perfect for the quarterback. And it wasn't his fault. The team just isn't good. And we would do that for another 4 years with Shedeur.
I think Shedeur should be successful. He's got no plus traits.
I think he can be successful if he lands in the right place. Environment matters almost as much as a guy's physical talent. And if you are walking Shedeur into a lame duck head coach with a fifth choice offensive coordinator,
right,
there is basically no chance he's going to be able to be successful.
With an offensive line when was the last piece that you drafted you were confident in? It was the last general manager. All right. Like Shedeur Sanders, he is not exceptionally big. He's not exceptionally strong. He certainly isn't fast. He doesn't have a lot of velocity on his balls. So if you're taking a guy top five and putting him in this offense, your hope is that basically in 3 to 4 years, you've drafted well enough at every single other position, and you've gotten an offensive coordinator hire right, and you've gotten probably a head coaching hire right, that this guy is going to be successful. Like, I don't see it. To me, this is not a guy worth using a top five pick on. If we're picking ahead of the Raiders, I'm trying to do some highway robbery here and get more assets. I am not a Shedeur believer. Nick, I think I'm maybe where you stand, if not a little bit less. Like, again, to me, it's like you put him in an offense with a Mike McDaniel offensive mind and a Tyreek and a Devon Achane and a Waddle.
Give me a break.
And a Jonnu Smith.
Mike McDaniel's is a great offensive mind.
Yes.
They good enough. Their offense has not been great this year, but it's better than our offense. And when you are... starving to death in the white second street.
Ranked scoring offense, Nick. I don't know, that was your bar. We got to be careful.
But that's the great point.
Bro, they didn't have Tua for how many games?
And it was absolute dog shit.
Because they pulled a Giants. Here's backup quarterback was Skylar Thompson.
We throw this offensive genius around very loosely with some of these guys.
because of where they once were. The Miami Dolphins have a very good offense, and Tua, I think, is a lot better than given credit for. I think we learned that this year. We also learned that Mike McDaniel is not as big of an offensive genius.
Well, yeah, they can't run the ball. They can't run the ball efficiently. It's their weakness. Yeah.
You know, I think there is a ceiling with Mike McDaniels, and I think we saw that. Now, I don't want to make this a Mike McDaniel thing, but...
Well, you are. His roster is not that good. He is an offensive mind.
My whole point... Well, no, he's not.
Saved Tua's career.
My whole point in all this...
Got Tua paid.
Yeah.
Is that there... Well, I would argue Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle also played a big role in that, but that's neither here or there. And also, it's a lot different when your head coach... You know, Jalen Waddle.
Unbelievable.
But here's the thing.
Another Alabama wide receiver bust.
Here's my thing, right? Who's the other one? But listen, my thing is that there is only a guy in this draft where I'm like, I'm okay with you taking him on the top, first overall, second or whatever. So this losing is not really as exciting because there is not that guy in the draft where you're like, that guy's the savior.
Correct.
Right? But that doesn't mean that I'm like, I don't want them to lose. I'm just, that was my point. It's like, damn, I wish we were doing this last
year. If the Giants were to have shown before this past offseason any motivation to move on from Daniel Jones prior to this past offseason, I would have confidence in being like, fine, take Cam or Shador, and if it doesn't work out, you pull a Rose and Kyler. We know that's not happening. They're going to draft Shador, and they're going to ride this motherfucker for 5 years, whether he's good or not.
I don't know about that.
You agree or disagree? You think that if they draft Shador and they finish with a top two pick next year, and let's just say, you know, I don't know, Arch comes out. Let's just say he plays next year. He's great. The Giants have a top two pick. Eli's like, dude, come out. We're going to, you know, whatever.
What do you think they move on from Shador? What are you asking me? Do you think that they would draft Arch Manning a year after drafting Shador Sanders?
That's the hypothetical.
Yes.
You really think that they'd move on?
Yes.
Okay, what if it was Dylan Raiola?
No.
No.
So it would have to be because of the Arch
narrative. Can I ask you a question?
No.
Where is all these quarterbacks in 2026?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
So everyone says this quarterback class sucks. Okay, fine.
Correct.
Where is the 2026 quarterback class that everyone's like? There's Arch Manning, who most likely will probably stay at Texas for two years.
I think it depends on who's drafting at the top.
Okay. So I don't know. But after Arch, what else is there?
Drew Aller will get an NFL general manager fired, 100%.
Okay, so he might even come out this year, but okay, so I'm talking about...
He could, but
2026. 2026. Who are the quarterbacks? Because I keep hearing 2025
But we don't
sucks.
Know about this until the season happens, Weiss. That's the thing. You need the games, because we're talking about...
But give me the... Like last year, before we even watched Shador and Cam Ward and Jalen Milroe and some of these guys, it was already... These guys, the class sucks. So I'm telling you,
usually a trajectory,
a lot of these guys are going to be going into their first draft eligible year. I think it's a move, but like, you want like Nico Lamaleva?
I'm asking a simple question.
Freshman, yeah. You want Dylan Raiola? Who's the guy? Whose name I forgot last time? The guy from South Carolina.
Oh yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Anyway, Lenora Sellers,
yeah. I'm just asking. Give me like,
okay. But again, we don't know. We don't know until the
season
starts.
Because people are going to transfer people. Because there's again, so much fluidity now that I
correct.
Don't.
And again,
so we don't know.
No. Everyone, shut up. Here's the issue. The issue is not don't take a quarterback this year because 26 is better. The issue is don't take a quarterback this year because these quarterbacks suck. Come beginning of college football season, the first month.
But that isn't the narrative. But that isn't the narrative that's being pushed.
No,
the narrative
is.
The narrative
is. No, it's not. The narrative was last year, right? Last year's narrative was you need a quarterback this year because next year's class is probably not going to be as good. And because
but
this
haven't you
excellent.
Said haven't you said on multiple occasions, punt on this year and then go get Arch Manning next year?
Yeah,
that's a near impossible thing. That you cannot plan that. That's not
correct.
This is a historically bad Giants team, and right now they currently sit with the number 2 pick in the draft.
That's and you know what? That sucks because this quarterback class is awful.
No, my point is that what your scenario that you're trying to play out, mm-hmm. it's an impossible task. And part of the reason why it's so impossible.
I don't throw that out there as a realistic scenario. I'm saying is there a world in which, because again, we've already established the narrative is that Arch is not coming out until 2027.
I believe that's what's going to happen. That he's not coming out.
If the Giants are bad enough next year to finish yeah. with being in position, right, throughout the season, does he declare? That's it. That's all I'm asking. Does Uncle
bad,
Eli
okay, bad
pull
enough
some for, strings? And by the way, for, can I just say this before we get back to this conversation? Because we talk a lot about how pretty much everything good that's happened to the Giants has not been because of Wellington Mara or John Mara. How about Eli refusing to play anywhere else? They had nothing to do with that. They got fucking lucky with him too. Anyway, back to this conversation.
I don't like to do this whole don't draft the quarterback this year because next year is better or worse.
That's fine. That's not my that's not my narrative.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Don't draft one this year because they're not good.
Here's my opinion. I think there's one guy that I am right now, December 9th. I think there's one
Listen,
guy.
You take a shot on Shador, and I think if you want to have that opinion, that's fine. I don't think he's going to beat Bryce Young bad. I just don't think he's worth
hooping right now. That's watch fair. Your mouth.
Stop.
He's been good the last 3 weeks.
He's been okay.
He has been good, Nick. I'll give you that.
And he's throwing the bums, to be fair, too. He's throwing the fucking Xavier Leggett and 35-year-old Adam Thielen, and he's kind of been functional.
He should have won that game yesterday.
Eagles letdown game.
And he should have won that game against Tampa. He led a game-winning drive against the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
They stink too.
Everybody stinks.
No, yes, there aren't a lot of good teams. Yeah.
So my original point was when we went down this tangent of college quarterbacks was even with the losing, you know, it's not like there's a phenom waiting there for us to, you know, pick them.
No, the argument is that these guys just aren't franchise quarterbacks and I'm not using a top 5 pick on. That's it.
Yes. That's
it. There's nothing to do with next year's potential class or Arch Manning this or Nico Lamaleva that. I think if you're a GM and you draft Cam Ward top 5, you're getting fired.
I'm not there with Cam Ward yet. I can't generate an opinion, but I think Shador is a guy that I would most definitely. But you have to have an infrastructure. You can't have a lame duck head coach and a general manager.
And they don't have any of that. I think Shador can be an average quarterback with a really good offensive coordinator and a roster that's functional. The Giants.
Okay, I do have a question for you off of this that's related, but it's not exactly. So, like, if Shane stays and Dable goes, who is the best head coaching candidate you think that would agree to come?
Oh,
you
would
think
agree. Vrabel
would agree to come in
here? I jumped the gun. I didn't let you finish your question. Vrabel's not coming here with Joe Shane.
That's kind of my conundrum here, because, like, I'm looking at this list of candidates. Like, Ben Johnson's not coming here to work for Shane. Vrabel or Belichick's definitely not.
They work together in Miami.
That's true. I forgot about that. That's true. Aaron Glenn, probably. I don't know if you want a defensive head coach, but, like, I could. Aaron Glenn, you could concede.
I just want an adult.
I think Aaron Glenn probably ends up with the Jets. I don't think Brian Flores is happening. Vance Joseph probably isn't happening. I could see Joe Brady. I could see Shane poaching another Buffalo guy. I could see Joe Brady.
Maybe Cliff.
I could see Kellen Moore.
Liam Cohen from.
Liam Cohen.
Yeah.
I could see Liam Cohen. But, like, none of these guys are, like, exciting. Like, none of these guys
there's
are
a lot
confidence
of,
there, inspiring.
No, there's, again, like.
Because we just went through this with Dayball. Like, we.
Yes.
I'm just done with the sexy, exciting first timers. I am.
I think.
You want some experience, Ethan?
I do. Yeah, go get me Vrabes.
At this point, yeah. I feel like,
I sound like Nicky Snacks right now. I don't want some pussy, offensive-minded, whatever-the-fuck guru. Go get me a man.
I want Vrabel's somebody who's wearing shorts in 35 degrees.
No, that's corny. No.
I think Mike Vrabel might be in line for the Ohio State job if they lose.
Nah.
You don't think so?
I don't think Ohio State's going to fire Ryan Day. They owe him too much money.
And like, also, just don't lose. Think these
college coach is a shitty job now.
It's such a bad job. Dude, can you imagine Belichick trying to navigate nil?
He did a good job recruiting one 24-year-old. I'm sure he did.
Ohio State
had a $15 million salary cap. Ohio State's going to be. Let me ask you a question. Nick, you're saying they're not going to fire Ryan Day if they lose to Tennessee in the first round of the college football playoff.
I still don't think they're going to fire Ryan Day. They should fire him after they lost to Michigan.
No, they shouldn't. They should let him finish out the season. You got to let him finish out
at the season. At this point, being a college head coach is not a great job. The amount of
at Ohio State, where they have this, you know, I don't want to say unlimited budget, but this
crazy, they have a lot of resources, budget, yes,
where they can just buy players.
I mean, he's talking about like he's never had a more difficult year of his life, that like his family has been consistently being harassed and threatened in public. You know, I think Ryan Day might leave more than
it's an occupational hazard.
It is. I agree with you, but he very clearly is not built for it. He's not. Some people have the insane in them and they can tolerate that. He was not. Yeah. He really, look, Harbaugh clocked him to death when he said some people were born on third base and thought they hit a triple. He did he inherited Urban Meyer's program and lost all of the juice in a 4-year window.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm going to reel you guys back into a Giant question.
All right.
The Giants have two remaining home games. Baltimore at home on Sunday.
Dude, what should I do with my tickets for next week, by the way?
And then
I kind of want to see Lamar in person, but going to a football game in December sucks.
Ethan, you should put those in the market. There's a lot of Ravens fans that don't mind coming up from taking that.
What to pay? I'd rather just give them to Nick than have someone buy them for $5.
Oh, they'll buy
them. To see Lamar in person would be cool.
The Ravens tickets are very expensive, so that's why I think they'd be more interested. Okay, they got two remaining home games. Sunday against the Ravens and December 20th against the Colts.
By the way, you know why Ravens tickets are so expensive, right? Because their GM was smart enough to draft Lamar Jackson 32nd overall. Dave Gettleman could have traded back into the first round. And
do you know what's funny? I actually asked this to somebody like a couple weeks ago. I was like, hey, and when the Ravens traded back into, because I was having a conversation about Jalen Milroe, it was actually like a month ago. I was like, when the Ravens traded back into the first round to take Lamar, was obviously it was the 5th year option, but were they worried that a team ahead of them was going to take Lamar? And they said no. So I remember during the draft time, there was like this talk about, oh, the Giants are going to take Saquon Barkley and Lamar Jackson. No, the Ravens didn't.
Crazy.
But I want to ask you, are the Giants going to finish winless at home?
They're definitely losing to Baltimore. Like, Baltimore needs to win this game, like, badly.
That's their
seeding reasons.
I mean, just the thought process of the defense wanting to tackle Derrick Henry. I envision a lot of business decisions. So Sunday against the Ravens and December 20th against the Colts. No team in NFL history went 0-9 at home in a single season. That's a little bit misleading because it's still 17-game schedule. But the point is, do you see the Giants going winless at MetLife Stadium?
Yes.
Yeah.
They are currently 14-point underdogs at home against the Ravens.
Sounds about right. Sounds actually a little too low.
Can the Giants score 10 points? Because, like, you know, Baltimore's getting at least 20-something in this game. If you don't think the Giants are scoring 10, 14 seems about right.
The Giants average 14.9 per game. Currently, they averaged 15.6 with Daniel Jones, the best $160 million you can ever spend, right?
Money can buy.
Legalize bank robbing. Hall of Fame finesse.
10.1 points per game at home.
That's bad.
Like Ethan said, there were tickets that went on sale for $1 on the secondary market.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, is not the Giants.
You're right. John Mayer already got your money, guys. Is this the lowest point you've been as a fan?
You can't
turn kill myself after the DeSean Jackson kick six. Like, I genuinely debated walking into traffic after that game. But yeah, so like,
I asked not to go to school.
10 months later, they won a Super Bowl, and I, you know, got over that pretty quickly.
I was only like 13 or 14 at the time, so that was really like scarring and emotionally traumatic. But like, as far as like the direction of the team, yes. Individual like moment, no.
You can't turn on a TV without somebody taking a shit on the Giants.
I don't watch football talking head TV.
No. I'm talking about a game. I think it was the Thursday night game last week between the Packers and the Lions, and Josh Jacobs had a touchdown. And they were talking about free agent running backs, and lo and behold, guess what? They took a shit on the Giants.
Like, nobody's shitting on the Raiders for Jacobs. Nobody's shitting on the Titans for Henry. No one's shitting on the Bengals for Mixon. I realized
because those teams didn't go and pay Daniel Jones $160 million. You know, the Giants allowed this to happen. But anyways, 4 more weeks. Can it continue to get any lower? The Giants do a great job of finding ways to...
So, like, short of someone dying in a game, what's the worst possible thing that could happen over the next 4 weeks?
Bro, I'm not even kidding. I think it's literally someone dying at a game. Like, if someone were to commit suicide by jumping off, like, the 300 section...
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
And to blame the Giants? Yeah, I think that...
Make sure you leave the note before you jump.
Yeah.
I think it'd be someone paying for one of those planes again, and that plane, like...
crashing into the stadium. One of my friends said that yesterday. Like, how could it get worse? Somebody hiring a bad plane pilot and crashing the plane.
You know? You know what would be even worse than that? Would be as if, like, there was a mechanical error and the plane had to land on the field and the banner was just, like, strewn out.
On the field, yeah.
What team was that they all decided to wear the paper bags over their head?
The Saints?
Was it the Saints or the Browns that did that? They had like,
I think it was
the Browns.
Either way.
If something like that, it's just, you sit there and you think, and then the next Sunday comes around and there it is. There's another lowest point, right?
You're not even going to get enough people to get a sell the team chant going at the games, the next two home games. You're going to have 70,000 of the other team's fans and 10,000 sick fucks who couldn't sell their tickets.
There's no Colts fans going to that last game.
Yeah. I don't think so. You'll get some Ravens
maybe,
fans.
Maybe we team fans. Up with Bobby and Justin and we organize a paper bag game.
Power to the people.
Yeah.
All right.
Tickets are going to be cheap, by the way. Secondary tickets.
Again, just as a third, a tertiary reminder here.
Yeah.
Is fans listing those, not the team. The New York Giants are not selling dollar tickets. It's the fans.
Sucks for PSL owners.
Yeah, it's the PSL owners that...
But just an FYI, Ethan, those are secondary tickets.
Yes. And again, one more time, we're not making fun of PSL owners. We're just stating this as a fact for some reason. Yes.
We're not rubbing it in their face that, hey, you already paid for these tickets.
No. We're just tweeting it because apparently it adds value. Yes, got it.
Yeah, just for the record, you know, secondary tickets. John Mayer already got your money.
Yes, exactly. But not making fun of PSL.
Yeah, just stating, you know.
Stating facts. That's it.
Right.
Remembering facts. We're out of here. Talk to you guys next week.
Peace.